This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Y'all better come up here and get one of these.
What's that?
It's a chicken salad.
Hi, I'm Rachel Hampton.
And I'm Julia Craven, and you're listening to ICYMI.
In case you missed it.
Slate's podcast about internet culture.
And today, we're joined by former Slate staff writer, current author of health and wellness newsletter Make It Make Sense, and eternal icon, Julia Craven. Julia! Thank you for joining me. I have been obsessed with you for literal years, so thank you for indulging me and coming on the show.
You're very kind, and I've been obsessed with you too. When I got the invite to come, I was just like, yes, of course I want to talk to Rachel for an hour.
In grand guest host tradition, I have a few starter questions for you. Are you ready?
I think so.
Okay. So I don't really know how I decide who to ask this question to, other than I always wonder who's going to have the funniest answer. And so I feel like you would have a really funny answer. So I'm going to ask you, do you think Jesus was canonically hot? Like in the Bible, the historical document, do you think Jesus was hot?
I feel like every single Bible study lesson that I was dragged to as a child, every single time I was told to be quiet in church, I feel like all of that, like the Southern Baptist indoctrination that I had is like bubbling up inside me right now. And I feel like
that's, that
I
was the hope. Sent,
like, I'm so sorry, Nana. Oh my God. I'm going to say no.
Okay. I agree, but tell me why.
So it's twofold. All of those Sundays I spent in church, I feel like are preventing me from saying anything other than like, no. Fair. And the other part is I'm just not sure that I would find anyone from that era hot. Mm. I mean, like, because we live in a world where, like, Yaya exists now, and Jonathan Majors, and yes. I just...
Aldis Hodge, yes.
So I'm going to say no, for the sake of, like, my mental health. I'm going to say no. So what was your answer? Is it yes or no?
It's no. I don't think Jesus was hot. Okay. And I think that is based on the fact that to follow, I mean, in the church tradition, I've also grew up Southern Baptist, but I feel like following Jesus was not supposed to be something that was like super easy. Like there were trials and tribulations to overcome. Like they were on that boat in the ocean thinking they were going to drown. And I feel like it'd be a lot easier to follow a hot person. And so I think that Jesus is not hot so that you would kind of look past him. And that's why I think that he's not hot, but I think he had hot energy. I think he was very charismatic.
Hot energy?
I think he had good vibes. I think the vibes are right.
Oh my God. Yeah, I can never share that. Like, my Nana can never hear this. She would flip.
Well, sorry, Julia's Nana. We will move on from our to be determined hot lord. And now for my next question, which is, what is your favorite song off of Beyoncé's Renaissance? You have to pick one. There's no, like, you can only pick one. There's no waffling.
Heated.
What? That was a lot easier than I expected. I thought we were going to be going back and forth for a while, but you came out the gate. That's a great choice.
I've been listening to this album nonstop pretty much. Like, so about a month ago, I finally stopped listening to it every day because I was like, something has to give. Like, I can't I can't keep listening to this daily. Like, I have to listen to something else. And so I've already done all of like the mental gymnastics in my head about like which song is better, what's the best song. And I've just landed on the Heated Hive was right from the beginning. Like, wow, this is the best song on the album. But it's hard because there's so many good songs on the album.
There is. There's no skips. I don't think there's a bad song on the album.
I have some skips.
What are your skips?
Well, I have a skip.
What's the single skip?
So, okay, I want to preface this because I do not want anybody coming for me. I don't think this is a bad song. It's just not, it doesn't vibe with my personal music preferences.
Okay.
I just like faster pace, like more upbeat, more up-tempo music. Mm-hmm. And so I do skip Plastic Off the Sofa.
When she said upbeat, I was like, it's going to be, yeah, this is going to be the slow one. I think given your personal music preferences, that makes sense. However, as a Pisces, Plastic Off the Sofa hits.
It's a beautiful song. I like it. And if I'm listening to the whole album, like, mm-hmm, at home or while I'm cleaning or something, fine. If I put it on in the gym, I like, that's just not gonna work. No, it's not gonna work.
I'm just picturing
trying to do deadlift
to Plastic Off the Sofa. It wouldn't work. It wouldn't work. I just lay down. And I already want to do that when I'm in the gym.
You know, same. I know people don't believe me when I say that because I'm a gym girly, but same. Same.
I think even when you're a gym girly and you enjoy working out, there's always a moment that comes in your workout where you're like, I would rather be doing anything else than this.
You know, you ain't got it every day. That's like the thing I wish, and obviously we're going to get into this in a little bit, but that's like the thing I wish more health and wellness content creators would talk about, is how there's just days where you just ain't got it, and that's fine. Like, that's normal.
Yeah. I mean, as you said, we're going to get into that later because that's what today's topic is about. You, Julia Craven. Today's episode is the first of a new segment we're trying out, tentatively called Internet Diary, though if the ICYMI listeners have any better options, please DM us. Y'all are incredible at coming up with names. But the concept is like really simple and extremely self-serving in that I just wanted an excuse to have the coolest, smartest people I know come on the show and tell me about their internet habits. I just feel like the way we incorporate the internet into our daily lives says a lot about us. It's kind of a little personality test, and I love personality tests. So after a short break, I will be back with our first diarist, Julia. I'm so excited.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true. But shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son, George, on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. Trust me, you've never seen a mother-son duo like this before. The show is full of wit, scandal, action, and did I mention Julianne Moore? Something this audacious and sexy, as genre-bending as it gets. You won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And we're back with Julia. And I actually realized I didn't ask you the question before the break that I usually ask everyone. So I'm going to ask it now. What is your first internet memory?
So my first internet memory is definitely Neopets.
Ooh.
Yeah. Is that a ooh, like, ooh, she's like very niche, or ooh, like she's a little old?
That was a ooh in that I did not really partake of Neopets, but I know a lot of people who did. And I'm always fascinated by, like, because I never really experienced it. Like, if you took me to the homepage of Neopets, I would be like, I don't know what to do here. So I just like hearing about it.
So when I started on Neopets, I would go to the library while my Nana would like run her Saturday errands. And I would like fuck around on the computer because I didn't have internet at home.
Yeah.
And so because I didn't have internet at home and I got like this once a week, like internet time, my Neopets time was not successful because I was only checking on them like once a week.
Oh, no. Were they just dying? Do Neopets die?
I can't remember if they died or not, but I know that they weren't thriving. Like, it was not a, they starved. Like, it just, it was a, you know, the internet during the aughts was just a wild time anyway. Oh. Like, it was just the Wild West. And my Neopets experience being a terrible parent was a part of that. So that's my first internet memory, is depriving my Neopets of nourishment.
Food and water.
Yeah.
Okay, so Neopets, I think, kind of counts as a platform. But my next question is, what was the first platform that became like a regular part of your life? Like one that you visited every day and not once a week?
So it was two, and they happened kind of simultaneously. So when I was in like seventh or eighth grade, like we finally did get internet because we were able to convince, like I was able to convince my great grandmother that we needed internet.
Yeah.
Like I needed this. And I was on Zanga and MySpace every day.
Ooh, okay. Tell me more about Zanga. Zanga's unlike Neopets in that I've never really been on it, but I've heard about it. So tell me what your experience on Zanga was like.
I know for me, it was just like a new way to write and to like blog. And being younger at the time, like it just kind of helped me process things to type it out. But that experience was just like, oh, like there's a new way to communicate. Like this is a new medium. And then MySpace was just like a whole new world. It was like, oh my God, like there's all these people. And it's like, I can connect with and talk to people who live in Alaska. Like what? Being able to just see profiles and potentially connect with people who were not in my world was like, for me, I was like, oh shit, like this is awesome.
Do you remember any of your MySpace profile songs?
So this was also during my emo phase, I have to say that.
Yes! MySpace was also my emo phase.
I feel like it might have been every Black girl's emo phase.
Okay!
It might have been. So there were definitely, oh my God, I want to say Paramore.
Okay.
It definitely had to be a, and if it wasn't Paramore, it was certainly like Fall Out Boy. I think I had Dead on Arrival on my profile.
Ooh.
I know, good
Also, like the layers of meaning. Dead on Arrival to my MySpace page.
There you go. My brain was not functioning that highly at that time in my life.
I think it was. I think it was subconscious. Wow. Okay. Yeah. The Black girl emo phase, I feel like, was also almost, not exclusively, but mostly lived on the internet for a lot of us.
Yeah.
And so I just have this like really warm, fuzzy feeling towards that era of being online.
And I felt like I went through my emo phase alone, as do during an emo phase. Like, you think it's just like you're the only person in the world going through this at this point in time. So doing that and like through music on MySpace or whatever, it was just kind of like, I don't know. It felt like another way to express I don't know how deep I want to get, but I was navigating big emotions at the time and I didn't understand them, and being able to just sit for a few hours and like create a profile from scratch and then like put your music on there and like choose all of these little photos and tidbits and whatnot. It just felt like a really good outlet. It was different than just like writing poetry or, you know, brooding while reading a book or something like that. It was a new way to just like express myself when I didn't feel like I could do that in my actual life for whatever reason.
Well, speaking of MySpace pages and songs and things that have stayed with us, what is kind of the last piece of internet ephemera that's kind of lodged its way into your brain and refused to leave? Like, it could be a tweet or a TikTok or a Vine, rest in peace. Just something that you find yourself thinking about maybe too often.
So there was this like moment on TikTok where there was this lady and she was singing this song, and part of the lyrics were, "Taste the biscuit, taste the goodness of the biscuit.
Taste the biscuit, taste the goodness of the biscuit."
And so someone paired that with a filter of just like one of those filters where they put your face on it and then like you have a different body. And it's just like this, a woman's body, and she's just like bright silver and shiny. And she has on a purple dress and she's like walking down a beach. And it's like just her walking to the "taste the biscuit, taste the goodness of the biscuit." And this didn't go particularly viral. Like, I think maybe under the sound and under the filter, it like both of them had like maybe 3,000 or 4,000 videos. So this was not like a big viral thing. It was very niche. And somehow my algorithm thought that I was into it. And as always, my algorithm was correct.
I was like, sounds like it was right.
Very much into this. And then the second one is, it's a chicken salad.
Oh, yes. You did the little finger.
Superior.
Just superior. The way she made that salad looks so good.
I know it is so, I know that salad is amazing.
Bussin. Yes. Absolutely.
Yes.
Y'all better come up here and get one of these.
What's that?
It's a chicken salad.
From where?
81st Deli.
What's on it?
Superior. I got chicken.
Basically, a camera pans onto this woman who is very clearly enjoying a salad, and she kind of like crooks her finger over her mouth as someone asks her, "What are you eating?" And she's like, "It's a salad." And she explains what's in it. It's chicken, there's banana peppers, cucumbers. And I can't even describe like why this video is so great, except that it is.
I think it's great because like, you know how like you be eating or like somebody around you is eating and it's just like, oh, like, and they're like you can tell that it's good just because like they're not talking to anybody, like they're enjoying their meal. And then you ask them, oh, like, what are you eating? And then like, they're just like, it's a da-da. And I'm just like, yeah, because you were, that shit was good.
Yes. It's like when you don't even stop chewing to tell me what you're eating, you're just like, I'm gonna just put my hand over my mouth and be like, is this
exactly
best advertisement for a place? 81st Deli, I need to go.
So I've started to get the videos of like people going,
oh my gosh,
and getting the chicken salad and just like getting it, going to sit in their car, just like, I'm going to film my reaction. And I haven't seen a person say that it's bad yet. Like, everyone is just like, nah, like, this chicken salad is actually amazing. And now I want one.
Obviously. I mean, same. Wow. That is 81st Deli is on the come up now.
Yeah, they should give, they better give her a cut.
Listen, whatever business comes in after the date that video was posted, she is owed at least 10%.
Amen.
I have so many other questions for you, but first we have to take a short break. When we get back, I'm going to get you to spill some secrets.
Now I'm scared.
You should be.
Taste the biscuit. Taste the goodness of the biscuit.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, y'all. Hope you're enjoying today's show. If this is your first time listening, then welcome. We are thrilled to have you here. In case you missed it, that is the name of the show. And also, our show comes out twice a week on Wednesdays and Saturdays. So please make sure you never miss an episode like this past Wednesdays, where you can hear me say emu in an extremely American accent for 30 minutes straight. It's all about how a lesbian emu influencer got milkshake ducked. And we're back with Julia. And the first spicy question I have is, I'm assuming you were part of many group chats. Which one has the wildest name?
So I am going to choose one that is wild, but isn't just too much. To reveal.
That makes me think there is one that is too much to reveal. And fair.
The dick chicks. I can't believe I'm sharing that.
I am obsessed. I'm obsessed. I love it. Can I know the backstory to the name?
It's actually it's very innocuous. It's just, we don't talk about dick. that's not the
I assumed.
But we were actually just making some, I can't remember like the start of it, but we just started making puns.
Oh
yeah. And so the puns were probably honestly based on like a Hinge profile that someone saw where a person said something really wild. And so we just started like making puns about different names that people who have dicks can call them. And so that just led to being like the dick chicks. Yeah, that's it. It's that, I don't know. It sounds wilder than it was.
Okay, if you could only follow 3 people on social media, I just picked a random number. I don't know why I picked 3. But their posts are the only ones you're going to see for the rest of your life. There's no changing. Who would they be?
So I actually came prepared.
Ooh.
And I chose 3 people for my 3 most used platforms.
Ooh.
Yeah.
You did research.
I can't just pick 3, like, because people are so different depending mm-hmm. on the platform.
Yeah.
So we'll start with Twitter.
Okay.
It has to be written by Hannah.
That's the Twitter account of writer Hannah Pfeiffer. It is just like chaos, but also brilliant analysis. Like the best of both worlds. Great choice.
Thank you. I like to think I have taste.
No, you do.
Maya S. Cade.
Ooh, we had her on the show.
I'm aware. I'm a fan. And then out of context, House of the Dragon.
Are you the only person in America who's enjoying House of the Dragon?
I guess. I don't know what the problem is. I don't know what y'all's problem is.
Actually. I haven't seen it. It's not y'all. Okay, good Twitter choices.
So for Instagram, Megan Thee Stallion.
Good choice.
Beyonce.
I thought she'd make it up there.
And Joanne the Scammer.
Ooh, yeah. So Joanne the Scammer is this character created by, I think his name is Brandon Miller. And Joanne is just... she's a scammer. She wears this beautiful gray fur. She smokes Newports. She's always running up someone's PayPal account.
I've lied to a face. I've lied to disgrace. I've lied about sex, religion, and race. I've lied to elope, got married for hope. I'll continue to lie. I've lied in this poem.
I like this. That'd be a fun feed. Honestly, I feel like you're really having like a very pure social media experience.
Yeah, I should just do this. Like, yeah. I should purge everything except these accounts.
These accounts? That'd be so fun.
Because Joanne, like, I have to have access to those archival videos.
Yes.
Like,
I think Joanne might be coming back. I've seen some teaser videos.
Yes.
Yes.
And when we needed them most, they returned.
The Avatar, The Last Airbender reference?
They returned.
I knew you had taste. Okay, now actually moving on. I'm assuming the next platform is TikTok.
The next and the last platform is TikTok. So I have Psy Iconic.
Okay. I don't know this one.
It's very, you know, I love chaos. And it's very chaotic.
Ooh.
It's very chaotic and it involves a lot of personas and a lot of different characters, all of which are rooted in like really kind of a, I don't want to over intellectualize it, but to me, they come off as like very just like rooted in satire. It's good though. It's good. The girls aren't making content like that.
You're recommending like, it, so I'm assuming it's good.
Yeah. So Psy Iconic.
Okay.
Simi Moonlight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Who I follow on TikTok and Twitter, but you know, I had to pick and choose, so I chose TikTok.
I think her TikTok her Instagram content's also great, but I do think TikTok is her like the best platform. Yeah. No, I love her. So Simi is a plus-sized Black fashion influencer who just creates the most beautiful outfits and also has just incredible thoughts about like anti-Blackness and fatphobia in the fashion industry. Like, she's just a great follow.
Hard agree. And it's Nita.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. The Nita. Yes. You do love chaos, and she is chaos incarnate. It's Nita is just, her full name is Finita, and she has this thing where basically she stitches videos of hot men making thirst traps, and she will just come up after them and be like, what are you doing with all that, all those thighs out there? Like, get your ass over here, boy. And it's just, like, I'm obsessed.
I want to apologize for who I am. I am extremely sorry for my behavior.
She's the fucking best.
She's so funny. Her laugh, like, oh my God. We will link all these people on our Twitter, but these are all phenomenal choices.
Thank you.
These feeds sound like perfect.
You know, I needed a balance of like pretty pictures, mm-hmm. chaos, and people who really do say and do smart things. Mm-hmm. And so even though like it might be a bit chaotic, like it's chaotic with a purpose.
Yeah.
And I love that. And it had to be funny. It had to be funny.
Wow, I'm going to go cleanse all my feeds except for your choices.
Takes a bow. Thank you.
Okay, something else that you are an expert on besides, you know, curating social media feeds is health and wellness, which I consider one of the wildest parts of the internet.
Yes.
Beyond, like, crypto, except I understand health and wellness and I don't understand crypto. So I'm going to ask a kind of thorns and roses question. What is the newest bad wellness trend? And what is the newest good one? What are the kids doing? I've heard about seed cycling. I don't know what that is. I've heard about skin cycling. I do know what that is.
We're all cycling through this hellscape. but no, the newest bad wellness trend is reading the ingredient label. And let me explain.
I was like, wait a minute. It's not what I thought was going to come.
let me explain what I mean by that. So what I'm seeing a lot, especially on TikTok, and then those videos end up on Instagram, and a lot of that information ends up on Instagram and Twitter. But so people are going into the store and like they're filming themselves reading the ingredient labels and these like quote unquote bad ingredients for you. And they're just things like xanthan gum and, you know, stuff like that, things that are not actually harmful to your body. And then they always end up suggesting like instead of getting like an oat milk brand that has like a gum in it or whatever, you should get Malk, because Malk is like, it doesn't have that in there.
What is Malk?
It's a brand of oat milk that doesn't have a lot of, it really just doesn't have like a lot of preservatives and things like that in it. It's just very much like a bare bones type of oat milk. And so they'll suggest that over, you know, the one that maybe has a longer ingredient label as healthier, when in truth, Malk is just more expensive.
Yeah.
And so what we're seeing happening with like this viral trend of reading the ingredient label and like, you know, promoting something as unhealthy or not, is basically people are just like pushing classism and wellness further.
Yeah.
Then it's already gone.
I was like, can it go any further?
Yeah, you know, apparently it can. Cause, you know, there's Erewhon, there's you know, there's a lot of these things. So that's the bad one. Reading the ingredient label is not like, it could be a good practice. Like it could stop people from eating foods that, you know, just don't make them feel good. Like,
yeah.
I love Oreos. Like, I'm looking at a Rice Krispie treat right now. But Rice Krispie treats don't like me because milk doesn't like me.
Relatable content.
Yeah. So, like, it could be a good thing, but it's just going too far. It's going too far.
Yeah. I went on an elimination diet for a while because of my IBS. Being seen by a nutritionist, so it wasn't just something I was doing. And so there was a period where I was really into reading ingredients lists, but it's because I couldn't have onions or garlic. And so I was looking through everything for that. But that is one of the only scenarios in which I actually am trying to like actively avoid an ingredient because I know it doesn't make me feel good. Other than that, I'm just like, the preservatives are there for a reason.
Exactly. They're there so that your food doesn't, you know, spoil and give you listeria or whatever the fuck else other foodborne diseases are out there.
I would prefer not to have botulism, given the option.
Hello? Like, no, but for real, dead ass, seriously. Like,
truly, truly.
Don't want that. That's okay. The one you do not want.
Okay, so last question. What's a good wellness trend happening right now?
Hot girl walks.
Is it just a walk?
Yeah, it's just a walk. A regular daily walk is the best wellness trend I have ever seen, ever.
Wow.
I mean, it's amazing. And it's not even overcomplicated. People are just like putting on leggings and going for walks. I'm like, this is great. More of this.
Yeah. That's so like accessible. And achievable.
Yeah.
Wow.
Realistic. It's really great. Like, it's really great. And I wish more health and wellness trends were like that. Like, oh, take a walk. Just go for a walk. Take a nap. Get more sleep.
Listen, I mean, I think that's actually kind of a perfect note to end on, is go take a walk.
I was going to say take a nap.
Also, take a walk and then take a nap.
Hold up.
All right, that is the show. We'll be back in your feed on Wednesday, so please subscribe. It is the best way to never miss an episode, to never miss an internet diary. Please leave a rating and review in Apple or Spotify and tell your friends about us. You can follow us on Twitter at @icymy_pod, which is also where you can find the links to all the incredible people that Julia mentioned during this episode. And it's also where you can DM us your questions. You can also always drop us a note at icymy@slate.com.
ICYMI is produced by Daniel Schrader and Rachel Hampton. Daisy Rosario is our senior supervising producer, and Alicia Montgomery is Slate's VP of audio. See you online.
Or on a hot girl walk.
Stop putting quotes on fucking posters.
Like unless it's the cat saying, hang in there, hanging from a tree. I don't want to see it.
I don't even like her. She can fall, exactly. She can take a fucking tumble.